everyone. Welcome to C-Suite Talks. We speak with industry leaders, introducing you to some of the most interesting people and businesses today. We're focused on women, money, and power, as well as diversity in all areas. Welcome to C-Suite Talks. I'm Beth Hilbing, co-CEO of C-Suite with...
Hi, I'm Diane Gubin, co-CEO of C-Suite, along with Beth. And this week, we are so happy to be speaking with Sarah Coates. Sarah is a vice president and senior wealth advisor of Calamos Wealth Management, where she focuses on providing investment guidance to families, business owners, and corporate executives. She also works with nonprofits, such as endowments and foundations, where she uses her legal background to support their investment committees and boards on fiduciary governance and asset allocation. In a previous life, Sarah was an entrepreneur, owning a furniture store and e-commerce site in Vermont where she grew up. She's also an attorney, and she attended law school at night while working full-time as a consultant and manager and raising two boys. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yes, we're excited to have you today. I can't imagine what it is like to go to school full-time and have boys to raise as well. That's a lot. So congrats to you for doing that.
I'm happy that it's over.
For sure. And, you know, tell us what do you do within this career path of wealth management? What does that mean for somebody who doesn't know?
Sure. At its most basic level, I help our clients. And as you mentioned, you know, we have a lot of private clients that could be, you know, families, trustees who are representing beneficiaries of trusts, executives and endowments and foundations. So that could be like a healthcare system, a community foundation, or a private foundation, you know, a wealthy family.
Wow. You actually went to the University of Connecticut, where I did my undergrad. And you specialize in investments and securities regulation, which is like amazing. So why didn't you go down the law path and you went more into the wealth management side? Just curious.
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that question a lot. So I've been in this business since 2001. So that's like over 20 years. I never wanted to practice traditional law, you know, how you think of, you know, corporate law, going and working at a law firm. It was never really in the cards for me. It was really a personal aspiration. So, you know, when we think about getting a graduate degree or, you know, kind of excelling ourselves in what we want to do, it was always something that I had dreamed about doing when I went to undergrad. And I went to undergrad older, not a traditional student. I think I was like 25 when I went to undergrad. So I went pre-law, which doesn't really mean anything, but it was a poli-sci economics major, and just always had that aspiration, but wasn't able to do it until, you know, 4 years ago. It was for various, you know, just kind of life plans, things change. And then the opportunity struck and it was like, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I did. So it was very clear, to kind of answer your question, very clear that because I was so far down my career path in wealth and working with, you know, wealth and nonprofit clients, that a law degree that focused on securities law and focused on tax and estate law made a whole lot of sense.
So you focus on nonprofits. That's interesting. That's really good. What have you found as some of the issues that the nonprofits face that you've been able to help them with?
So it's interesting. It depends on the nonprofit. Everyone's a little bit different. So you may have a nonprofit that has a relatively, for lack of a better word, inexperienced board or inexperienced investment committee. They need guidance. They need education. They also need to be in a different place, perhaps in their asset allocation. And so in order for them to get there and get comfortable, you need to spend time educating them on alternatives, private equity, hedge funds, how those things help their asset allocation and help them, their perpetual endowments, right? They're supposed to last forever. That's the idea. So educating them really on different things. So it could be asset allocation. It could also be on spending policy, their IPS, their investment policy statement, getting them into a good place. So really helping them be the fiduciaries that they have been hired to be. So they have standards that they need to live up to from a fiduciary standpoint. And so really it's, you know, it's just an education thing.
So curious, do you do board advisement within this since you're, you know, working on the finance? Like, who is your client usually within the nonprofit?
So typically the structure is there's a board and then there'll be an investment committee and sometimes also a finance committee, depending on the size of the nonprofit, it might be kind of combined at the committee level. So we will typically meet with the board at least quarterly. Excuse me, the investment committee at least quarterly, and then the board, you know, annually or a couple times a year. And that's more of a, hey, this is what we're doing. This is how we're arm in arm with your committee. make sure that everyone's, you know, doing their part from the fiduciary standpoint, because ultimately the rest of the board, right? So it's mostly intimately with the committee and less intimately with the board.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like someday you're ready to be on a board yourself then, because you're already doing the board work.
I would love that.
So you might as well go get paid to do a, you know, to do that, which, you know, is a big initiative under C-Suite.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
So that's great. So what are you seeing in today's world that some of the problems and challenges that you help your clients solve? And is there something in particular that you're very proud of?
Yeah, wow. Well, okay. So I'll answer it this way. There's two clients that I love working with that I think that, you know, is very meaningful to me. I think meaningful and helpful to them. So number one, women. I love working with women. I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of women who are executives and have come into wealth from hard work, are executives who have come into board or investment committee positions through hard work. And that's a new thing for them, helping guide them, kind of what we were talking about, right? Guiding them from an education and a comfortability standpoint with either their personal finances or with, you know, their fiduciary responsibilities with a nonprofit's finances. So that's something that I'm really proud of. I fancy myself kind of a self-made woman. So I like working with other self-made women and just seeing them grow and help lift them up and support them. I really love that. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up nonprofits again. I tell this to every investment committee that I speak to, every board as well, that there's just nothing more personally and professionally gratifying than using your professional skills to help a nonprofit, to help them grow, to help them have better returns, mitigate risk as best you can, educate them. As I mentioned, they're along for the ride and we want them comfortable with the decisions that they're making. So I love working with nonprofits in that way. I've worked with nonprofits. They exist for grieving families, or they exist for women and abused children. So abused women and children right here in Chicago, or Jewish community foundations. So I just feel really blessed, really fortunate to kind of do that work where you get to use, you know, your expertise to do something that's very, you know, it's helping our communities. It's our neighbors. Super, super gratifying.
Yeah, I can tell that you're very passionate about it. And that's fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. So let's just skip a little bit to go to female portfolio managers, which you obviously are, tend to outperform the market, right? Why do you think that is? And is there something unique that women bring to the investment community?
Yeah, there have been articles that speak to that, right? The notion that women may or do tend to outperform. It's tough, right? Because unfortunately, the statistics are stacked against us as women. I think it's somewhere around 10%. I could be getting it wrong, but I'm right around the ballpark of 10% of all portfolio managers, you know, are women. So
that's
a small number. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty small, which we need to change that. But to answer your question, I think it's an interesting question. And, you know, I'm going to give the woman's response, not the man's version of it, right? But I think...
Oh, yeah, please do.
I think women do bring something interesting to the table. I think women, not in every case, but sometimes women tend to have a little less ego, tend to be very objective, and they may make decisions such as terminating a manager, you know, departing from an investment thesis, maybe a little bit quicker than somebody who's, you know, a little bit more, has a higher conviction for maybe the wrong reasons or different reasons. That might be something that, you know, kind of comes to mind for me. I also think, and this is really kind of a hot topic, is, you know, the notion of ESG, social governance. I think women, you know, take that really seriously. So when they're analyzing a company or a manager, that's something that they're going to put, you know, pretty high to the top. I'm not saying that men don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. I work with amazingly smart and compassionate men every day and have for many, many years. But I think that might be something that lends itself to being a better portfolio. What does it mean, right? What does it mean to be a better portfolio manager? And I think the governance comes in. It's not just about returns. It's also, you know, returns and doing the right thing. And I think women have a really great way of bringing that perspective to the table.
So who inspired you professionally? We talked about Wall Street. Diane and I were very blessed. We got to go be on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
I saw that. Yeah.
That was really fun.
And I will tell you that it was predominantly male, but our hosts and hostess that run the placement of women on boards on the NASDAQ and so forth, New York Stock Exchange, excuse me, are women and fabulous women. And so just who kind of inspired you professionally in your industry?
So first of all, I work with amazing women every day, but this is kind of a goofy, Christine Lagarde.
Who's that?
Head of the ECB.
The ECB, for people who don't know it?
European Central Bank. Yep, European Central Bank. And she used to also head up the IMF, the Monetary Fund. So only because I've been in the business for 20 years, I just remember watching her. I think she's beautiful. I think she's a strong woman. I think she's a lawyer, which, you know, we like that. She's an economics guru. I just think she has a really great way about her. This is really strong, poised, straight talker. And she always inspired me as, I'm not saying that I'm at all interested in heading the ECB or anything. I'm not that smart.
Like, you should put it out there if you are.
Not even close. Don't, please. But I think she just professionally and just the way she's always, you know, held herself and ascended, I think has been very, very inspirational.
Awesome. So let me ask you, Sarah, what do you think the biggest mistake is for us women in terms of managing our personal finances, since you're doing wealth management? where do we mess up? I have a few thoughts on it, but I'd love to hear what you think.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So here's what I'll say. I think sometimes we stick our head in the sand. Sometimes, you know, I hear a lot, well, my husband manages or our finances, right? And I think that's changing a lot. And that is not, you know, that's a generalization, not probably a fair one. But I think, I'm not saying that you need to be the expert or an expert, but you need to know, you need to be independently sufficient and have some capacity of knowledge and get comfortable. I think it's scary. I think it's intimidating. I think there's a lot out there. I think we need to be responsible for ourselves. And I've been there. I've been in that place where I was naive. I had that response. You know, my husband handles the finances, and I feel a lot better being, you know, in control to some degree and having some level of knowledge. So I don't think we mess up. Look, I spend way too much money at TJ Maxx and Nordstrom. That's how I mess up, right? Yeah, exactly.
Actually, the biggest money hole I find is our families.
Cats. Yeah, exactly.
That's your cats, all right?
Yeah, that's a really great point.
It's the money hole, the sieve of, like, you know, everybody needing and pulling and not saying no because you can't say no. And yeah. I need this and I need that.
Yeah.
We take care of everybody. So yeah. We end up bleeding a lot of discretionary income, I'd like to say.
100%. Yeah, we do. We put everyone first. Yeah.
So, Sarah, what are you focused on this year?
Oh, what am I focused on? What is Sarah focused on this year? Joy. I want to be happy. I am. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I want to live in joy. That is what I'm focused on. And this is, you know, being at Calum's a relatively new role for me. That transition was a part of being in joy, living in joy.
Oh, why was that? Was it closer to home or the environment or the team? Like what made it more joyful?
A whole lot of things. I love Chicago. I'm here more than I was. I absolutely love Chicago. I'm also in New York City, which I'm a city girl. So I'm loving the vibe. The food is amazing.
Yeah, the food is great in Chicago, right? And Maria Pinto, listen, you don't need to go to Maria Pinto. Just buy yourself like the best.
And we're going
to
do another fall event with Maria Pinto this year too, in Chicago.
Yeah. I'm wearing a Maria Pinto right now. Ooh, it's amazing.
Good advertising for her.
There you go.
So with your company, what are you focused on for yourself from a career perspective this year?
So in previous roles, I've worn many hats. This is a role where, so I've worn leadership hats. I have an operations background. I've had, you know, worn an operations hat, team lead hat, and then client hat. Here, I'm more focused just, you know, really on client. And team is always something, right? I mean, we're a part of a team. We have to behave in a way that we want our team to look, and, you know, we try to reflect back what we want to receive. That's how I look at things. So that's easy though. So really it's just focusing on clients. And it's a really great opportunity for me to get really kind of down in a narrower lane, if you will.
That's great. Do you see a lot of the younger people getting into wealth management advisory roles? Do you see them coming up, the emerging leaders?
Yeah, I do. I do. And actually, I have a former colleague who was telling me a story about how he has had three individuals come into his office in the last few weeks who are young, you know, in their 20s and asking for mentorship, saying, I want to sit in the seat that you're in someday. So you do see, yeah, it's really great. And I think we as I'm not old, but as older, more senior folks, right? I'm 28. I mean, imagine yeah. that crazy. And I'm not 28.
Just close. You're very close.
You're 28 adjacent.
Plus or minus 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Those boys were just child bride boys.
Great. Yes, of course you were a child bride. Yes. So listen, since you've basically said you're married with kids, like how do you help married women in particular feel more empowered in their financial planning? So let's wrap with that question.
I think.
More women.
Yeah. So it goes back to the basics for me. And this is an answer that I can give for really any client. Education, help investing. This world can be complicated. Right. And you get numbers involved and things get complicated and people kind of glaze over. Distilling complex concepts, making them bite-sized, making them palatable, making them understandable, comprehensible. I think you want people to know why they're doing something with their money. If you think about it, the way I've always looked at it is health and money. They're the things that are the two, other than your family, the two most precious things that you have, right, is your health and your money. We think about those things with such power that they have over us. And so making someone, enabling, empowering someone to feel a level of understanding of why something is happening, why it makes sense, where they're headed, right, what their goals are, how to get there in kind of a bite-sized path, bite-sized concepts, I think is something that anyone, any client, any person, but certainly women, you know, I think it makes you feel more in control and that you're involved in what's going on with your money.
That's great advice.
Terrific. So Sarah, how can everybody find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. And calamos.com/WM, I think is the, I'm going to get in trouble for not knowing the exact website.
That's okay. And Sarah's last name is spelled COATES. So thank you, Sarah Coates, Vice President and Senior Wealth Advisor at Calamos Wealth Management. We've loved having you on. Thank you to our listeners. We appreciate you very much. And of course, our sponsors. Thank you, Google, City National Bank, Uncle Nearest, which is a female-owned whiskey company, Nutanix, which does cloud computing, the law firm of Paul Hastings, Interpublic Group, which is advertising, media, and PR companies, and my firm, Amplify Professional Services. We do executive search and IT consulting. So thank you. And Beth, where does everybody find us?
Yeah, so hit the subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast, C-Suite Talks. And make sure to rate us 5, of course. And then follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram and get the latest on all of our wonderful executive women and men inside C-Suite. And we love hearing from you. So send us an email at beth@csweet.org and check out our website, www.csuite.org. And thank you again, Sarah. It's a joy. And thank you for being a member and part of C-Suite. Thank you.